You are listening to the Icehouse Podcast, hosting conversations with gritty Kiwi business owners and leaders and industry-leading minds.
Kia ora everybody, welcome to this week's episode of the Icehouse Podcast. We recorded this conversation here in Tauranga. It's with Amy Burke. She has done our financial workshop. She's a founder and owner of Blank Canvas Catering. She's the co-director alongside her husband Simon of Framos Homes, the Bay of Plenty branch. And it's funny how this conversation came about. I ended up calling her to ask if she'd do some catering for an Icehouse event we recently had. And small world, she had done one of our workshops back in 2021. We got chatting about that experience. We now have a caterer for life, and I've made a friend through the process too. She talks all about her passion for food and passion for that industry and how it birthed this incredible business 8 years ago. The journey of doing that, the highs, the lows, the in-between. She talks about being inspired by members of her family that are in business, including her husband and her dad. She talks about what a day in the life of her looks like. She talks about imposter syndrome, backing herself, learning to say no, and so much more. Hope you enjoy this conversation with Amy. Welcome, Amy. Thank you for joining us today. Hey, we'd like to start with some quick fire just to get warmed up. And the first question we are going to ask is, what does a day in the life of Amy look like?
Well, I'm someone who really likes the idea of routine, but my days are anything but routine. I've got a 1.5-year-old and a 2.5-year-old, and then obviously the two businesses that you've mentioned, and it's just a jumble of events, kitchen time, admin, managing children, trying to fit in exercise, working on my relationship, friendships, but it's a hustle. I wouldn't have it any other way.
Amazing. Okay, how do I ask this next question? What do you do when you're most relaxed?
So my family have a house at Owakuni, and I try and get there a couple of times of a year for a couple of weeks and just go back to the simple life. So we do love to go up the mountain, but other than that, don't get in the car for anything. There's a playground, a library, a coffee shop, all within 500 metres, beautiful bushwalks, and then just relaxing at the end of the day. So I just take time out and go back to that like really simple life and then back to the hustle.
Yeah, beautiful. When are you most productive?
So I've started a new thing in probably the last 6 months, and I get up at just before 5 a.m. and between 5 and 6:30, I like to do like a power hour. And so just tick off all those things on the to-do list, which are daily distractions. And you don't have, people asking you for things, phone calls coming in, emails coming in. And it's quite a good way to just set up the day as well, you know, feeling like, oh, I just got 10 things ticked off my to-do list. Kind of gives me that like motivation to get into the day and get everything else done.
Wow, so you have a 4-something AM alarm.
Yeah, and the flip side is now we just go to bed pretty early.
Oh, that is so inspiring. Well done. Okay, the next one is favorite ever food. And yes, I did ask you that because you have a catering company, so I popped that in there.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you a foodie answer and say that I couldn't narrow it down, so I'll tell you my death row meal. Oysters. My chef from Bluff won't like this answer, but Timatuku's from Waiheke are the best in my opinion. Controversial. The cheese souffle from the Engine Room in Auckland, I still dream about that. And a tiramisu, I can't go past that. And Blank Canvas, I'd have to say, would make one of the best tiramisus I've ever had.
Oh, tiramisu is my go-to dessert order, so I totally relate. Book or podcast that you recommend?
So podcast, I listen to a lot of Bernard Hickey. He has a Substack called The Kaka, and he also does a podcast for the spin-off called When the Facts Change, and he talks about climate change, the housing market, the economy, politics, child poverty, and how they're all connected. Didn't used to have like a big interest in politics, but when you're an adult, you realise that actually whatever political party's in and the decisions they make actually do affect your life in lots of different ways. But he kind of puts things in a lens where it's really easy to understand and makes a lot of sense. And then in terms of books, I just recently read Lessons in Chemistry by Elizabeth Zott. Like to read fiction, kind of like that escapism, rather than non-fiction. And it's about a woman scientist who's a feminist in 1960s California, and just how she's navigating a very male-dominated world that she works in. An incredible character, great story, very unique and original.
On the other side, if you were to write your own book tomorrow, what would it be about?
Definitely a recipe book. And I'd love to do that one day. And I wish tomorrow was the day that I had time to do that. Maybe a trip down to Oconee in a few years for 6 months to hunker down and write my book.
Oh, good call. I would buy that book 100%, but also love that you're realistic in saying that it may not be happening tomorrow. Well, that's quickfire done. Can you tell us a little bit about yourself, Amy, what you're passionate about and what gets you out of bed in that very, very early morning?
Well, obviously I am passionate about food, and a question that I get asked all the time is, do you still enjoy cooking for yourself? And I can honestly say that I've never had a day where I haven't enjoyed cooking, except when things don't go quite right. And family and community, I think, especially in the last 2 years, having two children and having parents that are getting slightly older, we've really had to build this big village around us to be able to do what we do, you know, have two businesses, have young children, and just, you know, looking after those people. Like, success to me is actually about the people that you surround yourselves with. If you stripped everything back, I think that would be the most important thing. I do really love business, and I can honestly say that I haven't had a day where I haven't wanted to get out of bed in the morning and go to work. I have dreaded certain days and events, you know, going into a big event with a fussy client or something like that. But it's like anything in life, you worry about things, and when you're actually in it, you just get on and do it. And then the feeling at the end of that when you've achieved something is, you know, always worth it. And then, like, more recently, I've become really passionate about sustainability and being in the business of doing good and just thinking about the long term and how we can use our businesses as a vehicle to, like, make positive change for the future.
Very cool. There's so much I want to unpack from that. But before we do, have you always been in your own business, or what has that career journey looked like for you?
So I think I've always kind of known that I wanted to do my own thing one day. I had a father who was an entrepreneur and had his own business. And I always, probably like one of the biggest things me and Dad connect on is business. And I love hearing his stories and the highs and lows and the cowboy days and that kind of thing. Definitely a lot more red tape these days. Even I was thinking back to what my very first job was, and me and my friend Kate Nixon used to make pictures and crafts and go and sell them around the neighbourhood. And one day we realised that digging up mum's plants from the garden and repotting them and selling them was a lot more lucrative, although we got in quite a bit of trouble for that. But I, you know, there's been people that I've talked to over the years, and you get those little gems of advice, and often it's the simple things. And I remember someone saying, you know, you want to, in your 20s, like, build up that toolbox. So I went to university in Dunedin and did a business degree and a Master of Business, and also did a degree in life skills. Not just talking about the drinking in Dunedin, but, you know, living with other people and managing your finances and doing your own washing and all those things that you learn been away from home. And then I was lucky enough to get my first job at Delegate in Oyster Bay Wines. And it was just after the GFC and no one was hiring and all my friends were struggling to get jobs. And I got this amazing job. And it is something that I've taken into, you know, I still hear the CEO and the managing director, Jim Delegate, who just was uncompromising in his attention to detail. And I still hear his voice and like the tone of my emails and how you talk to customers. And that was a great footing. But then I really loved the food side of things and I wanted to do something more practical. So I saw an advertisement in the Dish magazine for a cooking school, Le Cordon Bleu, which is like an international cooking school that started in Paris, opening in Wellington, and they were offering scholarships. So I quit my job and I went and did an 11-week cooking course. And rather than continuing on with the course, I then decided to go get some real life experience. And I was lucky enough to land a job on the super yachts. So I did that for 2.5 years. And that was just a real crash course in like how to work in a kitchen. But the amazing thing was, is we were working with the most incredible ingredients. And I could make whatever I wanted as long as like there was food on the table. And then working under amazing chefs as well in like a one-on-one environment. And I just don't think you get that going through the traditional path of working in a restaurant. Yeah. But at the end of that, I decided that, you know, I wanted to combine those business skills and my passion for food. And that's when I got into the catering. Also dabbled in having a bricks and mortar, a cafe, and that was a real lesson in like a business model not being quite right and putting in time and money, but because the model wasn't right and it was broken, like that business. Basically, I had a bit of an out when someone bought me out of it, but it wasn't going to succeed.
Wow. Is that what led to Blank Canvas?
Yeah, I think just I realised that the blank canvas model with, you know, knowing how many people you were catering for, provisioning accordingly, staffing was just completely different, you know, not paying rent and all the overheads that come with a hospitality business.
Wow, I'm so glad I asked about that journey because it has so much depth to it and it really shows the passion. And that passion remains the same, you know, hospitality and bringing people together. Following from that, can you do a bit of a deep dive into your involvement in the two companies, Blank Canvas, Framos Homes? I know you're more involved in one than the other, but what does balancing the two look like?
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, Blank Canvas was my baby and I've been going for almost 8 years now and we've really grown organically. So it started off as just a very like boutique little catering business and we were doing about 10 weddings a year and a sprinkling of other events throughout the year. And now, you know, we are a year-round business. We're doing about 40 to 50 weddings. We're doing about the same in, you know, large corporate events. And we have a full-time team. But we still have that small business feel in that we've got a very close-knit team, the Blank Canvas whānau, and our product is produced en masse to an extent. You know, we're probably catering mainly between 100 to 150 people, but we are using local suppliers and beautiful products, and we're absolutely not the cheapest, but we're uncompromising in the product that we produce.
Yes, I love it. So much quality to what you guys do. Allow me to go a little bit off script, if that's okay. Did your dad teach you anything in terms of building his business? You know, I've got a question here that says, did you always know that you wanted to have something of your own? And I'm kind of picking up that maybe you saw something in your dad, in his journey, that maybe you wanted. Was it the freedom or the flexibility or the finance? What do you think that was?
Yeah, I think there's probably a couple of things, and it was that Dad was always about the journey and not the destination. And so it was about the stories along the way and the people that he met and the opportunities. You know, he used to say, like, the opportunities in front of you will always be bigger than the ones behind you. And I've totally experienced that. And it wasn't about, oh, when we get to this point. And I think also he wasn't about the money as well, and that naturally comes, but I definitely think in our society people can just be too focused on the destination, and that destination is dollar signs, basically. And once I get to this stage, we'll be able to do this, this and this. But actually, you know, when you look back, and I look back, and sometimes some of the most happy memories and best times in my life were when I was the poorest. So true.
Yes, I love that point of enjoying the journey, not just the destination. For you, how did it first start? What was that first step that you took to bring Blank Canvas Catering to life?
Well, yeah, again, back to my dad. You might hear me mention him quite a bit. But I remember being, I knew what I wanted to do, and I was coming back from the boats, and I had saved up so I could start something. And I knew I wanted it to be a combination of business and food, and that it was going to be catering. And I came up with the name Blank Canvas Catering one in the middle of the night, and but I remember feeling so overwhelmed and saying to Dad, I just don't know where to start. And he was like, just start. And you just do that first event. And you also have to look at, I think, you know, I was also doing a bit of private chefing on the side. I was doing some nannying. I have always been a worker, so like nothing was ever below me. And you either have to go into something with a lot of capital behind you to be able to fund your life, or you have your side hustle, and then one day that side hustle is actually your full-time job. But in the meantime, you might need to supplement that.
Yeah. I love that advice of just start, because it's so true, right? You learn so much along the way. When I was researching about you, I really noticed that you've kind of got the two parts of owning a business. You know, you've got that creative side of you, but also running a business hat on. How do you balance those two elements of who you are? And do you think it feeds into who you are as a business owner?
Yeah, yes, definitely. I think, you know, one thing that I've seen, and I remember a friend gave me this piece of advice as well, is that you can have a passion, but if you don't combine the business skills with that passion, then you're just going to work and potentially be, you know, a busy fool. And so you've got to really build your passion as a business. And what, you know, one of the biggest things is knowing the numbers, and there's no point in doing something if you're not making any money at the end of the day.
With the relationship there with your husband and the two businesses, how does that work? Obviously you collaborate on ideas, but yeah, how does the collaboration work when it comes to running the two businesses?
So Simon doesn't have a lot to do with Blank Canvas, but he's always there to like back the trailer, our mobile kitchen, into like a particularly hard driveway, or do some heavy lifting. But, you know, he had a quiet patch recently, and our accountant was like, well, I don't really see him turning up in the kitchen and slinging some sausage rolls. I also said to the accountant, like, we do a bit more than sling sausage rolls. Yeah. And then my role in Framos, like Simon's a builder, and he has built around the world for over 20 years, is an amazing craftsman, you know, has made some beautiful things around our home, has so much pride in his work. And so this business has been like a real different direction and step for him, but he just puts, he's a bit of a perfectionist and just puts everything into what he is doing. Now he's more of like a project manager, a quantity surveyor, doing all those things that, you know, when you come off the tools, you have to do. And then I guess my role is more in like the strategy, the marketing side of things, social media. Amazing. Yeah.
So how do you find time for the both? Is it, you know, a very structured, or is it more fluid? Like when you find time, you do it. How does that work?
Yeah, probably the a bit more fluid. And also different businesses need my time more at different stages in the year. So, you know, during our busy summer season, when we've got the weddings and all the events on, like I need to be a lot more in blank canvas business. At the moment, you know, as you would know, the construction industry has gone pretty quiet. And so blank canvas is the business that's paying our mortgage at the moment, essentially. So I need to make sure that I'm putting my time into that. But things are starting to pick up a bit more. So, you know, Simon will get busier again in his business, and then it becomes a bit more of a balance. But I think like anything, like your life, you get to a stage where things really fall out of balance, and you've just got to bring it back in and check yourself and... Yeah,
great. And you've obviously got that experience over the years of, you know, understanding that there'll be ebbs and flows in both industries. And, you know, I'm sure if you cast your mind back to COVID with events and catering, that wasn't super easy on that business, but then you had construction. And so, yeah, it totally makes sense. Thanks for sharing that. Looking back at your business experience, what do you think one of the biggest learnings or biggest challenges would have been?
Well, you just named COVID for blank canvas, absolutely COVID. And I think the thing that I found the hardest was not so much the financial side. At the time, we had a kitchen, we were working from home, so we could just kind of shut in a small team, mainly casuals, so we could just really kind of hunker down. But when you're dealing with wedding clients, they are very invested in their wedding day food, and it's a lot of money for people, and you don't know what other people's financial situations are during the COVID time. So I just remember like dreading seeing a number or an email pop up from someone when the latest like lockdown or numbers rule was announced. And I think I came out the other side of COVID, and a lot of people in the industry were just burnt out and emotionally exhausted. That was probably the harder side of things. But then getting through that, it built so much resilience, and we actually came out a much better business. I also think there were a lot of businesses that didn't survive. I haven't been like someone who really keeps an eye on the competitors. I'm just like, stay in our lane. But when we were picking up work here, there and everywhere, I was like, okay, you know, we've come out the other side, and this has created opportunities for us. With Framos, at the moment, this has been the hardest time. You know, we went from really starting to build some momentum, having three jobs on the go, to literally having nothing in the pipeline. Wow. And having to go through a whole process with like finance. You know, we had two sections that we had bought but couldn't build on them. And, you know, on Friday we found out we got finance after about a 3-month process of dealing with banks and accountants and everything like that. So I just feel like our lives every week is a week of like quite extreme highs and lows at the moment.
Yeah, totally. Oh, resilient. Resilient is the word I have for that. Incredibly resilient, and hearing stories of so many business owners and leaders in that time. Yes, we have a resilient bunch. During that time for you, you know, what kept you going? What kept you mentally sound during the massive lows that COVID brought?
My kids, like 100%. We had a bit of a scare with our little boy when he was 2 weeks old, and I remember making a deal with God at the hospital and being like, you know, whatever happens, if you can make sure this little boy is like healthy and safe, like I can deal with anything. So yeah, having their little faces to go back to at the end of each day, because that's why we are ultimately doing it.
What advice would you give yourself, you know, if you were to go back Is there a little heads up that you'd give you?
I think saying, learning to say no. And I see you nodding at that because I think it is a universal female thing, isn't it? I think when you say yes to things that you can't make work financially, for example, or saying yes to a client that you don't necessarily have a great feeling about, and then you just have to carry that mental load of worrying about it until the job is done, and then actually have to go through the job itself.
Totally. Are there any practical things you do now to say no to clients that just you know aren't right?
Yes, yeah, you know, absolutely. Probably like the most practical thing that I have is like qualifying a client. For Framos, we actually have like a sales process of like qualifying a client and separating the tire kickers from like a strong lead. With Blank Canvas, it's literally an email, and basically we load people up with the information. So you just don't have that inefficiency of so many emails going back and forth. And we also put a price in there. So we say, for example, our weddings are going to cost between 110 to 150 per head. And I would say our hit rate is 20% and we don't hear from the other 80%, but those 20%, we know that they're going to be a really good lead.
It's actually better for both of you, eh, when you're that efficient.
Exactly, and it really frustrates me when I deal with a business that don't give you that upfront information and the process does become quite inefficient.
I do want to talk a little bit about how you heard of the Ice House and the finance workshop. How did that all come about for you?
So the directors of the parent company, Framos, had done the owner-manager program and just absolutely raved about it. And she's still very connected with the Ice House. Like, we were just talking before and you said that she was up at the conference last week. Yeah. And so at the time, like, we couldn't afford to fork out for the program, but we were like, let's go do something. And both of us agreed that we needed some upskilling in the numbers side of things. Both had the basics and, you know, knew how to read like profit and loss and a balance sheet and that kind of thing. But when we looked at the program and talked to Rachel, who we were actually talking about before as well, we just knew that that was the next step for us to upskill and actually learn some tools and some levers that you can pull to make a bit of a difference in your business.
Yeah, so interesting. And how did you find it? Did you have any key takeaways that you ended up implementing?
Yeah, we both absolutely loved it. We thought the facilitator, Matt, was just amazing, and he made it so interesting and fun, and, you know, all his little stories and anecdotes were fantastic because, like, it wasn't a boring numbers course. Yeah, I think the biggest things for us were, or for me especially, was like understanding cash flow. And, you know, you can be profitable, but you can fail if you have a lack of cash. One little thing that I was reading through my notes, you know, profit is food, and you can go without food for a while, but cash is air. And we have learnt that certainly in the building industry. And the more you grow, like, the more important it is to just be on top of that cash flow. And you just wonder, how can there be hundreds of thousands of dollars in the account one day and then the next day it's all gone on bills?
Yes. Very practical learning in the workshop though, which, yeah, very cool. How did you find it? So you obviously did it with Simon in the same room, learning together. Could you bounce ideas around or debrief? What did that look like?
Yeah, no, it was really good. And Simon's one of those people that is a real skeptic with courses. And, you know, especially when you're investing what seems like a lot of money to do a course. And so he made us sit down after and actually look at our finances. And it was a real trigger for us to get on top of our finances in lots of different areas of our lives. And I think just back to that cash flow thing, you know, just understanding like those different levers. You can put your prices up, that's the easy one, but like carrying less inventory, changing your payment terms, like even getting paid a few days earlier can make such a difference. Yeah. And it's just stuff that the accountant doesn't tell you.
Were there any hesitations for the program for you, you know? Yeah, wondering, okay, is this going to be worthwhile? Anything like that?
Yeah, I think probably not so much myself, because I think I went through that traditional like learning, you know, went to university, went on courses, upskilled. And I'm not just saying this, but honestly, this is the most beneficial course I have ever done. But Simon, as I mentioned, was a real skeptic. Yeah. I think for the both of us to do it, it was something like, you know, $3,000 plus going up to Auckland and the costs that come with that. But you've got to look at it as an investment in your business, and you can't just stay still and bury your head in the sand when it comes to the numbers. Like, I honestly think that's one of the most important things to be able to understand. And $3,000 is really a drop in the bucket when we look at what we got out of it.
Yeah, it's so interesting because so many people start businesses from, you know, a creative passion, and then the finances, the money can sort of be a side thought. And yeah, there's so much power when you can bring both hand in hand and, you know, be your creative self, but also have a good hold over the finances in a business as well. Very cool. For you in this catering company, what sparks joy for you the most when you're thinking about what you're building and what you're offering?
So there's a couple of things. I think it's just such a tangible, you get such a tangible like satisfaction, because it's a short period of time. You know, when you're doing an event, it's like over 8 hours, and at the end of that you have people that come up to you and say, oh, that was the best food I've ever had at a wedding. Or you take a photo of the food and it just looks beautiful. Or someone's like, oh, I absolutely nailed the lamb meatballs today. They taste like better than they ever tasted. So I think it's that tangibility and sharing that with a team. I just don't think there's many businesses where you literally get an email once a week that is so thankful, and you've really like made someone's day, their event. The other side of it that gives me a lot of joy and pleasure is like being a really good employer. Like, I've really strived to do that. And you know, just our team, and everyone has their lives and their shit going on. And if you can make work a place where people love to come and it's fair, and you know, they're getting the mahi done, but also having the opportunity to be creative and, you know, sharing in your business journey. Like, there's huge satisfaction in that.
Yeah, yeah. I kind of want to take it in a couple different ways, if you don't mind. You know, having a business as a freelancer, or doing your passions, or just working with yourself is one thing. Stepping up and managing others is another. Is there a piece of advice you would give someone that is now managing people? Anything you've learnt from that?
I would say that I'm not a great manager, and that's an area I've really had to work on. I'm a good leader. I'm good at inspiring people. I'm good at like the overall vision and the big picture and getting people excited. But on a daily basis, I'm probably not great at managing people. In a way, I think I'm just a bit too nice, and I've made that mistake of like being friends with my employees at times. And it is really challenging being an employer these days, because sometimes I honestly think there is a bit of a disconnect between this is a job and you're getting paid money to do it. Yes. And a huge challenge has been dealing with like people's personal lives and their mental health as well. And I just don't feel like I'm equipped to be the best person to do that. And at the end of the day, you know, there is a job that needs doing. So that is something that I am constantly working on. And someone actually mentioned from the Ice House course the other day that they did, that you've got to make the company the king. And the company has to be put first, you know, in all circumstances. So that's something that I am still navigating and working on, and that's hopefully do the owner manager program at some stage, learn a bit more about that.
Absolutely. Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I think that's so relatable. You know, you want to be friends with people that you work with. That's so natural. But, you know, if there's no company, like you said, if company's not king, there is no business to be hanging out together with anyway. So, yeah, good learning, good sharing there. I want to ask about, you know, growing a business and growing a family. Have there been any key changes during that time, or do you have any advice for those that are currently navigating the same?
I think that I knew when I was pregnant with my first child, I knew that I was someone who was going to go back to work as a mum. And people try and tell you, they say, oh, it'll all change, you know, when you have a baby. And yes, I'm sure it does for some people, but for me, I think I knew myself well enough and I knew that I wanted to have that balance. But I really built this village around myself so that we were able to do that. And probably the key thing that we did is we have the most amazing nanny, Lorna, who is 65, and she's like our mum, and our kids call her Owa, which is, you know, grandmother, in their own little language. So I think you can do it all if you have help, and I'm a huge believer in that. You know, you have to have a cleaner, you have to have people that are helping you around the house, but you're out there making money and then paying someone else to do something. And I think that's also really key in your business, is delegating things and putting people, elevating them into management roles as well.
Yes, not holding it all too tightly, right, to yourself. And great advice, building a village around you that can help you in this time of building a business. What does the future look like for you, and what excites you the most about growing your business, Blank Canvas Catering?
So the thing that I'm most excited about is we are about to, Simon and I, with both businesses, or myself with Blank Canvas and then together with Framos, are doing a sustainability program called the Green Room that Tourism Bay of Plenty are putting on. And then we're going to be part of a waste management trial. So Tauranga City Council and Western Bay of Plenty are funding this trial because we really want to be leaders in both of those spaces. And I think we're natural kind of greenies a little bit, if you will. You know, we've always recycled, we've always had food waste systems, you know, really tried to not use suppliers, get food in from overseas and that kind of thing, but having a more structured way and actually being able to share our story and inspire others.
Yes, and I think there's such a great opportunity for those in events and in the catering space to lead the way in that area. And so, yeah, you've got a really great opportunity there. And as you say, you know, you are doing that already through local produce and amazing things like that. I actually wanted to take a moment to thank you. I really loved being on the other side of it, being, you know, a client of yours calling up asking for catering for our event. You're so onto it, you're so efficient, you're so lovely. The catering was perfect, delicious, very stress-free for me as the event organizer. So a big thank you. I highly, highly recommend you, and I'm not just saying that. We talk about this idea of success. What does success look like for you?
Yeah, and I think success is about the journey and then the people that you surround yourselves with, and what you, and the mark you've left on the world as well. Like, I think in the past few years I've really changed my thinking from being like short-term thinking and focusing on short-term pain to the long-term. And when you go into your working life, you know, if you start at age 20, you've got 40 plus years of a career ahead of you, and you want to enjoy that time along the way. I think, you know, those periods of my life where I've stopped working for a couple of weeks or something, I just get bored and I'm ready to go back to it. Yeah. And I think the money will follow as well. But I just couldn't be doing anything that didn't align with my own values.
Yeah, you're such a purpose-driven leader and owner, and that just comes across in this conversation, but in just all that you do. So appreciate you sharing that. Appreciate your time, your wisdom, and having you part of the Ice House community.